This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
You may have heard me say, as I often do, that the gospel message is simple. The good news of the gospel is that if you will admit you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ to direct your life, your sins will be forgiven, and you will be given eternal life with the one who created you, the one who loves you. Simple. However, easy to understand doesn't mean easy to live. We seem to find it difficult to trust that Jesus knows better for us than we know for ourselves. Now, the tragic story of man's disobedience begins in Genesis chapter 3. A loving God had warned Adam and Eve of the danger of eating from the forbidden tree, but they disobeyed God's command. Immediately, they both realized they were guilty, so they tried to cover their guilt and shame from God. But they chose a poor cover-up. You know, man-made solutions for sin and guilt never do work. Fig leaves of religious works will never cover the guilty sinner and make him or her right with God. God, however, He chose skins to cover Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3:21, we read, "And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them." You know, you'll find it throughout the scriptures. Garments are symbols of righteousness, either God's all-sufficient righteousness or man's self-made righteousness. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 61:10, "My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness." Now, the prophet also speaks of self-righteousness when he says, "All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment." In Job 29:14, we read, "I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban." You see, the coats of skin with which the Lord clothed Adam and Eve, they represent the righteousness provided by Him in which they could then stand in His holy presence. Behind those garments that God made for Adam and Eve has been sacrifice and death. You see, since a life had to be sacrificed in order for Adam and Eve to be clothed with garments of skin, there had to be a substitutionary death. A key truth in God's plan of redemption for all human beings is, without God providing adequate covering, no one can stand before Him clothed in righteousness. This means not only is it impossible to truly worship God without being clothed in righteousness, it also means that no one will inherit eternal life in heaven unless they are clothed in righteousness. And please don't miss this. It's only in Christ that it's possible to be properly clothed. So, if we look closer at this, I think we'll see that it was God who laid the foundation for animal sacrifices by providing the garments of skin. And we'll also see the pattern for all salvation history. God took a sacrificial animal, probably a lamb, killed it before the eyes of Adam and Eve, and wrapped the skins about their naked bodies. And no doubt at that time, God gave them instructions about sacrifice and covering of sins. So God laid down an eternal divine principle from which there is still no deviation. You see, salvation is of grace. The animal was God's gift. It wasn't the work of the man and the woman. I mean, the covering they came up with, it just didn't cut it. Their efforts didn't provide the necessary covering. So the Lord furnished the skins to cover Adam and Eve. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Who made the garments? God did. And who put the garments on them? God did. God did it all. That's the way grace operates. And please note, this animal was innocent. An innocent substitute. An innocent victim. God couldn't obtain the skins of the substitute without putting to death and shedding the blood of an innocent victim. The Hebrew word for garments or coats of skin signifies a complete covering, by the way, from head to foot. And coincidentally, the same word is used for the high priestly robe, which covered the whole body. See, Adam's leaf covering, that was sufficient only to cover his loins. But God's provision was sufficient to cover his whole body. Of course, as we know, in the fullness of time, God provided his own perfect sacrifice to cover our sins and provide us his righteousness. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are clothed with his perfect righteousness. Amen? Unfortunately, many people still go around trusting in coverings that aren't sufficient for their sins. The only sacrifice that will do is the perfect, all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Incidentally, the word sacrifice, it's interesting because it comes from two words, sacra, meaning holy, and fischia, meaning make. So the purpose of a sacrifice is to make holy. Now, if you look at Genesis 4:4, you'll find a description of the very first worship service. You'll find a description of God's acceptance there of a sacrifice of worship. It says, Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. So write this down in your notes. God is to be worshiped through sacrifice. We can never approach God to worship except by way of the cross. God accepted Christ's offering of himself for our sins, and there's no other way for us to come to God. Therefore, the most important question for any human being is, are you clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ? Okay. Do you think you understand what I've just taught? Are you with me so far? Well, good. With that introduction, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Romans 12 and read with me. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You see, in this scripture, we're introduced to a new term, and that new term is living sacrifice. Do you know why a living sacrifice is such a problem? Because it keeps crawling off the altar. But we're urged in God's word to dedicate ourselves to Christ. You know, we're urged to actually be the living sacrifices described in these verses. I'm truly concerned. I am about the half-hearted worldly people who claim to be Christian, and yet they are not willing to dedicate themselves. Now you may ask, well, why is that so important? And that is a good question, one that deserves an answer. So why is it important? Because the living sacrifice is the only sacrifice God will accept today. That's so important, I'd like to repeat it. The living sacrifice is God's only acceptable sacrifice today. The Message translation of the Bible, it says it this way. "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God can do, or excuse me, expressing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." In other words, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Dedication. We're talking about dedication. So let's talk for just a minute about what that means. Just how do we dedicate ourselves to God? Well, I've found that if a person has had a true salvation experience and has a true relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, that person will find it difficult to restrain himself. See, that person will say, in effect, "Hey, God is my Father, and I must love and serve Him as a daughter or a son. God is my Creator, and I must give Him what is due. God made every part of me. He redeemed my body as well as my soul. He's crowned me with mercies that continue on and on and on. And therefore, I want to give every part of me to His service. I'm not giving some vague, unidentified thing called self. No, I'm giving my body, the living, acting frame, the organ and the instrument that my soul works through. I'm giving all of this as evidence of the fact that my offer is for real." Now, before we go any further, I want to answer a question. And the question is, why is our physical body so important? Well, there are several reasons why it's important, and I'd like to talk about that. The first reason is because the physical body is the avenue of sin. How many know? Don't you know that there is constant warfare between the soul and the body? Our physical senses, they are avenues along which the tempter travels. There's no doubt it would be easier to keep from sin if there was no body. You know, no ear gate, eye gate, fleshly appetites to battle. However, it's also possible to sin even without a body. Now, we know that's true because the fallen angels, they had no bodies, and yet they sinned. And a person can commit sin in the secret part of his soul, while outwardly the body seems to be morally respectable. Therefore, instead of asking to be set free from our fleshly bodies, just get us out of this body, no, I think we'd be better off, we'd be wiser to ask for grace so we can present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, the second reason the body is important is because it's the instrument of the soul. Notice in our scripture that Paul makes a distinction between you and your bodies. In other words, your body is not you, even though they are mysteriously joined together. The body is the instrument by which a person works. It's how we work, how we express ourselves. We're told to present our bodies. So this, our body, is separate from us because we are presenting our bodies. It means we must stand. We must stand as kings or queens. Our soul must stand as a ruler having power over our body. Now, the soul, it touches the outside world. You know how? It touches the outside world by means of the body. Now, there may be such a thing as soul touching soul, which would, I guess, be the unseen you coming into contact with another unseen you. But most of the time, we influence and are influenced by the material, by the physical. For instance, thought works by means of brain currents. Thought works by the method of language. And if a person has spiritually surrendered to the Lord, that's going to be seen in his or her physical nature. And that brings us, by the way, to the third reason the physical body is important. It's because it shows the signs of surrender. See, an offered body is the sign of the completeness of the offering. The temple of the body to be used, we're saying it can be used by heaven's king. We are offering it, and that offering is made of the body by the soul. So the visible evidence that a person is willing to serve God, the evidence that he's willing to promote God's glory, the evidence is this offered body. It's the sign of a full surrender. It's what reflects true dedication. For you see, my friend, when God takes hold of you and you yield to Him, you give your body as a sign that you have no reserve. By your surrendered body, you declare everything, all that I call mine belongs to God, now and forever. You see, that's dedication. And please, don't ignore the mercies of God that touch our bodies, because they are to be important factors in our lives. For example, we're charmed by sweet music. We're refreshed by welcome odors, and we're nourished by many products. Yes, our bodies, they're touched by the mercies of God. And another way God's mercy is shown is in His redeeming us from sin. You do realize, don't you, that our Savior's coming to earth had to do with the body as well as the soul? I mean, He loves us so much, and He's interested in our complete welfare. Let's not forget, Jesus spent as much time in healing as He did in teaching. His miracles, they speak just as loudly as His sermons. The blood and water that flowed from Christ's side was blessed and rich, and so was the stream of miracles that flowed from heaven. Just think about how Jesus gave His body as an atoning sacrifice. Shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we give our bodies as a living sacrifice? Listen, church, we must let our bodies be responsive. Let's respond to the still, small voice of God on the inside, and then let it influence us instead of only all the worldly voices around us. You see, if the soul's going to be strong, if it is strong, the body will yield. And then the body, in response to the soul, will answer the voice of Almighty God. The body, in response to the soul, will live sacrificially. And the body, in response to the soul, will be capable of worship. There's only one sacrifice that God accepts today, the living sacrifice. Let's look at our text again in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. In the New Testament, there are two words that are translated world. One is cosmos, which sometimes means material world, sometimes means the existing generations of people, and sometimes refers to the lost people. However, in this verse, the word world comes from the word ion, which is used to represent the course of worldly affairs. And it's usually used in a bad sense. In other words, it's the floating mass of thoughts, opinions, speculations, hopes, impulses, and aims, all those things which all together make up a very real power which cannot be accurately defined. All of this that I just said is included in aeon. Maybe an even better way to say it is this. It's the spirit of humanity living separated from God. Anyway, the Apostle Paul, see, he's exhorting us to not be shaped and not be molded by the immorality of the passing generation that we live in. But, you know, that's really so difficult because we breathe this atmosphere every day. I mean, how do we keep from being infected? Is it even possible? Well, I believe it is. And before we conclude today, I'd like to offer just a few suggestions on how we can avoid this subtle poison that's all around us. So you might want to write these down. Number one, practice God consciousness. You know, the world lives mainly without God. I mean, God's not in their thoughts. And so one of the things that should set us apart from them is that God is in our thoughts. Amen? I mean, why do you think we encourage you over and over to read your Bible daily? Why do you think we emphasize spending time in prayer, witnessing, attending church regularly? See, one of the main reasons is so you'll never cease being conscious of God. And a second way we can avoid all the poison around us is be spiritual. In other words, bring God into every aspect of your life. You know, the world's materialistic. And what that means is their bodies rule their spirits. In a Christian, however, his spirit should rule his body. You know, when someone asks who I consider to be spiritual, I look for those whose spirit is surrendered to the Lord and whose body is being controlled by their spirit. And like my old pastor and mentor used to say, you're no more spiritual than you are scriptural. In other words, if you're not living in line with the principles of Scripture, no matter what you believe, then you're not spiritual. And the third way we can avoid being influenced by the world around us is to practice selflessness. The worldly person lives for themselves. You know, the worldly man lives for himself and he lives to himself. And this is called humanism. The Christian, however, the Christian lives to please Christ and lives to serve others. Remember, the living sacrifice is God's only acceptable sacrifice. So let's get back to our text in Romans 12:2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, the word transformed here is the same one used to denote Jesus' transfiguration to his glorified body. It's also used in 2 Corinthians 3:18 to show how the Holy Spirit begins a process of transforming us into the image of Christ. And this transformation must begin on the inside. Renewing your mind indicates a new way of seeing things, a new set of convictions. And when those new convictions are from the Lord, and the truth is then revealed and acted upon, you know, it's received by you and acted upon, a person's entire character can be revolutionized. And that makes it possible for the truly exciting part to happen. Do you know what that is? The result of a transformed life is increased power and increased ability to know God's will. Now hear me, friends. if there's anything that we could call heaven on earth, it's knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt what I ought to do. And because I know, having no hesitation, no reluctance in doing it. And if you have this kind of a discerning spirit, there's not much else you need. Let me close with a story. There was an American in Jerusalem, and he met up with this Franciscan monk there. And the monk, he offered to show him around the monastery. Well, when they came to the monk's room, the tourist noticed that there was no TV, no radio, no electronics, only a towel, a blanket, and a change of clothes. "Why do you live so simply?" asked the American. "Well," replied the monk, "I noticed that you only have enough things to fill one suitcase. So why do you live so simply?" And the American responded, "Well, I'm just a tourist. I'm traveling, you know, just passing through." And the monk smiled and replied, "So am I. So am I." The living sacrifice is the only sacrifice God accepts today. Will you close your eyes for a moment? I'd like to ask you an important question. Are you clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ? Are you a living sacrifice for God? Oh, I hope so. Because the only sacrifice God accepts today is the living sacrifice, which means a life totally dedicated to Him. So, is He in control of your life? I invite you to pray this prayer out loud with me. Will you open your eyes and just pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me and clothe me with your perfect righteousness. Make me worthy of standing in your presence. Thank you for saving my soul. And please help me now to daily present my body as a living sacrifice acceptable to you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.